Welcome to the Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Pyle. So excited to be bringing you another episode today. And this time, we're going to be looking at what's happening at the Army Sustainment University. Now, we've had some prior episodes that we've already kind of went over. If you think back all the way, because thankfully, you know, it's been over a year now since we've launched this podcast. If you go back to episode 2, so you got to get into your records there a little bit. The future of ASU at Colonel Steven Erickson. Go a little bit further. Episode 4, the next generation of log bullet with Lieutenant Colonel Jesse Pena. And a little bit further than that, Episode 11, on a tactical level of log bullet with Captain Forest Ranger and Mike Pataka, we've kind of talked about some of the changes that was happening here at the university, things that was happening here when it comes to logistics bullet, what was happening with lieutenants. So we kind of went through a lot of that. But that was well over a year ago now when those episodes published. And a lot's changed, and a lot's even going to be even changing even more. So today, I'll be sitting down with the new commandant of the Army Sustainment University, Colonel Daniel Horn. He's going to be walking us through today what's happening with the logistics corps here at the university and a magnitude of other things here happening for logistics branch. So without any further ado, let's dive on in today's episode and kick it off with, sir, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So Daniel Horn, I'm a Pacific Northwest native, Seattle Seahawks, season ticket holder and fan, Super Bowl win as well. I'm a military family with a retired CW4 dad, a 30-year Marine Vietnam vet, and then with two siblings and a brother-in-law that have also served, I think, well into the 90 years of complete service. But going on our fourth year here at Fort Lee, serving within the ASU community, and look forward to sharing some more of those initiatives that you kind of described in your intro.
Thank you, sir. You know, a wealth of just family history in the military. So just something to be, you know, just that tradition, and as you're continuing to carry it forward. And of course, we won't get into the full Seahawks thing with me being a Pittsburgh fan. But as we dive in today, one thing I know I've heard some discussions about is ALU and Army Logistics University versus ASU Army Sustainment University. So are we going back to ALU? Is it ASU? So what's happening there?
Yeah, so thankfully, Army Sustainment University is going to stay in place. That is through the great efforts of Ms. Sydney Smith, Colonel Greg Gibbons, and Rick Myers. They established us as a university and to focus on the sustainment enterprise that we are today. Through the ASU Next and moving in the transition period of the last year with Colonel Steve Erickson, as you said, and Tawny Moore and Command Sergeant Major Skelton, we are established the logistics branch. So it's really the logistics branch at Army Sustainment University, where we're focused logistics-wise on officers, second lieutenants, and captains, but the sustainment enterprise and our functional training, whether it's joint logistics course or the support operation course, and all the other courses that we offer to the Army Material Command Agency as well.
And that's because we have two campuses under the umbrella of Army Sustainment University.
Yes, and when the General Assembly era, we started a two-campus concept of Fort Lee and Fort Jackson, using our finance and AG schools to incorporate all things sustainment into that partnership. We still do that now, even though we don't operate in that current structure. We have military AG and finance officers that attend the C3 course, as well as medical logistics officers. We have medical logistics officers that teach portions of their sustainment criteria in the course as well. So again, it's encapsulating sustainment operations through the locations of the campus, but with the focus of logistics branch officers and creating a multifunctional officer.
Well, thank you for clarifying that for us, sir, because I know it can get some confusing, especially those who aren't here. They hear from the grapevine different terminology and stuff. So it's good that we clarified that now for the audience. Right. And now, can you walk us through, you know, having been here now for myself for almost 3 years, having been instructor and now having been the Hardened Fellow with the podcast and everything, there's been a lot of changes here at the university itself, a lot of new innovations that have occurred. So can you walk us through some of the updates that the university has went through?
Yeah, so one of the things that we are really proud of is the holistic health fitness hub. H2F, our teammates in the bold cadre, specifically Captain Marshall, about 12 months ago, identified an initiative to get all the subject matter experts into one area. That's mental, spiritual, physical, nutritional experts into the H2F hub. And so we utilized an area in the Bunker Hall, B-Wing, to create this open, inviting area for our cadre and really students to get in there and talk to these professional experts that have that emotional intelligence certification and can have those conversations with all individuals. This gets after the preventive measures versus reactive measures. And it's also teaching our young future officers those capabilities that exist inside their formations and their garrisons at their future units. Really excited about the H2F Hub. In addition to the Innovation Hub, the Innovation Hub was just opened this last month. This Innovation Hub is really focused on the Captain Career Course, where we're looking at how do you reimagine the learning environment, that classroom environment that goes away from traditional methods of learning. Think of getting away from the Enterprise Classroom Program, which was a computer for the instructor that projected onto the PowerPoint slides and four rows of students, or maybe there was pods of students. Mm-hmm. Now we're providing an area where we can test out learning pods, where there's groups of study session ability, not just with whiteboards, but with technical digital tables where they're tied to potentially applications such as OneBrief tool, where they're allowed to go from analog to digital in their MDMP, specifically running estimates, commodity throughput, and get more reps and steps in that learning environment. That Innovation Hub also has a 3D printer, so we're allowing an opportunity for young officers to test out what a 3D printer is that may have not had it inside their organic organization before they came to us. And then the one thing we're really proud is, and you'll like this, is a podcast studio. So we're allowing our cadre and students to create micro-learning videos that's tied to the course of instruction, where we can keep those videos current. So students can then review those in conjunction with their reading or testing the night before and really feed into the instructor material for the cadre when they go through. Really some exciting new things, and we're still trying to find other people's money to can expand on that and find out what equipment works. What application layers work and what doesn't. We have a great teams that love to break things without anybody's fault, but just the opportunity to create that reps and sets in the student environment, which I think is ideal for us to see what was really truly valuable, and maybe we get that return on investment from years to come.
Yeah, I just seeing all the changes occurred. I mean, myself, it was 2016 when I was here as lieutenant, when it was still Transportation Bullock. Right. And then 2020, when I was here for CCC, so just seeing all the changes that have occurred. And so some of the things that you've just talked about, one is all the hubs, as you said. And to confirm, for the H2F, that's open to cadre, students, staff, even staff here?
Even staff, yes. Cadre and students is open to them. And it provides, like I said, an opportunity. One of those experts will be in there Monday through Friday for just, you know, if they talk to somebody. They might not be the chaplain or the sharp or that behavior health expert, but they'll have the one-stop number to go, okay, wait a minute, come back. We're going to have that subject matter expert here to talk to you. Mm-hmm. And what we've found is a lot of folks, they just want to have somebody to talk to that's not their raider, senior raider, mm-hmm. or maybe that's not their peer, just someone they can talk to that's a trusted member so they can have that conversation.
So for everyone out there, you know, you're coming to the schoolhouse for, you know, for anything like that, you know, check out these new things that they have here. Like you said, it's available to you here on the campus up at Bunker Hall B-Wing.
Yes.
So check it out. And we talked about the Innovation Hub. I mean, having that 3D printer is a very unique capability because it's exposing people to this type of technology where they can start to see, okay, what capability is this going to bring to my formation, you know, if I'm able to get that technology. As we're continuing to expand advanced manufacturing across all the formations right now. It just gives the students a taste of it.
Yes.
And as you say, like you get in there, you get to see how it is, what it brings, what creativity you can have. So it's just a unique thing, as well as the digital tables now, people to brief off of.
Right.
Just makes you think when we're going to get to the point where it's like having holograms. You see in all the sci-fi movies, just like.
Yeah, we're close. Star Wars is right around the corner.
But just getting our students here, you know, accustomed to that. So they, you know, just provides them to have a better understanding, as well as better briefing product. So it's just nice how they're changing that, because coming from the era of death by PowerPoint, we'll say,
right,
and just trying new different things to increase our knowledge. So there's a lot of things we kind of would, I know we're going to get into more when it comes to the separate courses here, but I know there'll be a lot of people out there who wants to know about, okay, I've heard some things when it comes to the logistics branch. You know, we've starting to this past year really developed it into what it's going to be. The new insignias, I know there's a lot that I want to get into right now, but what has really happened with the logistics branch over the last year? What kind of major developments can you tell us about?
Yeah, so I think the main one is the sustainment functional data badge, the L9 badge. We got that achieved and approved, where we'll be able to start awarding individuals that have the education and the experience that meets that criteria and be able to give them that identifier. That's a huge win for senior raters, talent managers that are trying to find those skill sets before they get to their organization, and help them find them through the talent management cycle as well. And then to include, by FY28, we'll have billets assigned with those L9 coded billets. Really at the CASCOM, AMC, LCMC size billets organizations. But then also, you know, as we further that, that'll expand from 50 or so billets to 90 billets, then following year down into the DSBs and further as we get to that. Then addition, and if you talk about logistics heraldry, I know Colonel Steve Erickson spoke about that. We're looking at next January 27 to celebrate the logistics on their on our birthday. And we hope to then unveil potentially the St. Joseph Award, much like our other schools have the St. Awards. Ours will be similar with the tier approach of gold, silver, and bronze tied to that experience, that pay grade, that position that those individuals do. And complete and demonstrate the excellence of a logistics officer, NCO or warrant officer. We're working towards a spouse, significant spouse, or lifetime achievement award. We're still very much in the planning phase on that, so more to follow on that. Keep your ears on that as we kind of work with our CASCOM partners to identify what's the best approach to do that and make sure we're actually going through the process on that as well.
And now with, especially with the lieutenants, commissioning as 90 alphas, meaning logisticians now, is the regimental credit, is that all available now for people to purchase in the stores?
Yes, a good point. We should start seeing that this summer. As the manufacturer is starting to produce that, we've been told expected early mid-July, but by for sure August, we should start seeing those RDIs produced and in the AFE stores.
Okay, because I know that's a lot of people was like, we saw the design. You know, we've talked a lot about it. Like, okay, when can I get my hands on this?
Yes.
As we saw the example down at Sustainment Week,
right?
What it looks like, and got to touch it. But now it's like, okay, when can I get my own?
Yes, yeah. Hopefully this August is what the manufacturer is telling us. Yeah.
So, and you said in January is when we start to see some of these this history and the heritage awards be available.
Right. Yeah, you'll see an announcement probably about midsummer as well for that celebration in January. Much like the ordnance and quartermaster and transportation schools are doing their celebrations between now and June, our birthday is in January. And so we're looking at doing that similar approach to a celebration of logistics and an ability to hand out some St. Joseph Awards is pending the name and their approval. And then also some lifetime or spouse, significant other family awards at the same time tied to logistics expeditionary or excellence performances.
Okay. And to confirm, you said there would be three tiers for that.
Correct.
As well. What breaks up the tiers then?
Yeah, so gold, silver, and bronze is what we're looking at doing, with gold being that post-brigade commander, sergeant major, or CW5 experience. Silver being the battalion lieutenant colonel, CW4, E9 battalion sergeant major experience, and senior field grade officers as well, majors as well. And then that company grade level would be the bronze, post-company command, SPO, pre-SPO, positions for those as well.
Okay. Now, would it be something where, hey, at one point you get awarded the bronze, can you then get awarded a higher level again as you go up in rank?
Yes, that, just like the other schools, when if you continue to serve and you continue to demonstrate that excellence, you'd be submitted for that additional medallion and upgrade.
Okay. And is that going to be coming, which office is that going to be coming through?
Yeah, great point. That's the logistics proponency office led by right now Colonel Jesse Pena, him and his team. So that submission would go through his team now, much like the Somerville Award does. They do the managing for that for on behalf of CASTCOM. Mm-hmm. But now they'll add all the logistics awards.
Okay.
Yeah.
So just definitely be on the lookout for that. I imagine there'll be a MOPR message.
Yes.
And put out about that.
Yes.
Now, when you go to launch it in January, is that going to be your first time awarding it?
Yes. Yes. So that's what preferably would be our first time awarding it, and then being able to kind of maybe potentially line it up with sustainment week like the other schools are, or as fiscal constraints, move it back into the birthday month as many of the branches did this year just because of the fiscal constraints. So we want to be agile enough to award folks every FY and make sure we hit every tier in that gold, silver, bronze, and then truly get after the Lifetime Achievement Award winners as we potentially build out the Association of Logistics as well.
Okay. And my last point on this is some people out there might be, okay, so why name it the Order of St. Joseph Stewart? So why choose that?
Yeah. So for those, I'd recommend getting on the old-fashioned internet and look him up. He did a major operation that led a large-scale logistics operation way back in the day, and his achievements in doing that was pretty phenomenal. And so, and for us, it worked out for the timing and the opportunity for his name.
Okay, yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you, sir. Yeah, because interesting people be like, hey, who is this person?
Yeah.
Like, why the connection? But it's really great to see how sustainment the logistics community, we're getting back to our heritage, our history, honoring that and honoring those individuals who are achieving within our branch, who are, setting or building history right now.
Right.
So it's great to see how we're doing all the unique stuff that we've just worked on the last couple of years. And now moving over to the PME side of the house, because the professional military education, it's always adapting to the changing environment. I talked about before, I saw the change from my time. I know you've probably seen even more and more changes since when you went through here to the schoolhouse. So starting with Bullock, we'll start there, is how does that keep changing to keep pace with the Army's current operational pace then?
Yes, a good question. And then the 15-week multifunctional Bullock course continues to refine every quarter. Fortunately enough, if we go back to the last sustainment week, we had a really good session with the brigade commanders, sitting brigade commanders, that helped us identify gaps and tasks that they expected their second lieutenants to do or be prepared to do when they got to their unit. We were able to take that feedback, and those feedbacks were tied to maintenance, supply, distro platoon leader, a little bit of H2F, and then understand an Indo-PACOM scenario. Those five things is what we looked at. How can we utilize the current 15-week structure to better enhance the current lesson plans inside those curriculums tied to maintenance, supply, and distro? What we determined is we were able to get out of the classroom, develop a learning program where this self-development inside the institutional and operational learning environment, the self-development was key. So giving them homework assignments tied to that curriculum the night before that were pretty rigorous. Not just reading 500 pages, but reviewing some of the videos, potentially you going through and doing online courses where it's a test and assessment that prepares not just them, but their cadre member the next morning in that bucket of curriculum for, let's say, maintenance. So they do that review the night before. The next morning, they do their maintenance block of instruction. That block of instruction is no longer the 80 to 100 slide presentation. That is a review of the course material that quickly validates they understand the curriculum, but then moves right into a practical exercise where they are now doing sets and reps inside, whether that's tied to understanding of 5988, understanding GSS Army at their level, walking through what a maintenance motor pool walk looks like, how to run a maintenance meeting. That's all done in the classroom. But then that afternoon and that next day, they're actually heading to the motor pool. Thankfully, if our partners across the school are opening up their facilities, their areas, whether it's 54th with their motor pool, whether it's 508th with their distro platoon company capabilities, Ordnance Island allowing us to go walk through each in one of their sections of their maintenance capabilities over there, or even the quartermaster team opening up this supply SSA objective warehouse. allowing students to go and then see a motor pool for the first time or see a SSA for the first time. And now that really enhances their learning and really, more importantly, the retaining of that information. It's also, we started incorporating NCOs and warrant officers during the out-of-classroom curriculum, really focusing on inviting those opportunities, those subject matter experts, to embed themselves with our instructors. And we started doing that, kind of playing around with it over the last fall, but it wasn't until second quarter of this FY where we're able to set in stone what that 15 weeks looks like. Multifunctional, quartermaster, ordnance and transportation, supply, maintenance and distro, and getting them out of the classroom. So much like our infantry bullet partners, we're about 30% outside of the classroom. Even though they're at 19 weeks, we're at 15 weeks. We're about the 30% mark outside of the classroom, which is what we were targeted to through General Davis, to get out of the classroom, focus on field craft scenarios. For us, and we looked at that, continue to look at that. Right now, we are not qualifying on the weapons range and not doing day or night land nav courses. That doesn't mean we don't do weapons familiarization, and that doesn't mean we don't do mounted navigation through scenario-based training. What that did was free up 5 days for that 5 days to be in the field of going doing what I just said. Now it's another hands-on opportunity for supply, SSA warehouse, Hasty in the field, maintenance operations in the field, and then further enhance their convoy operation, distro, platoon leader skills in the field, preparing them for the next 2 weeks while they're in the field for the full-on FTX, where they spend the entire week overnight as an FSC platoon leader inside one of those buckets, rotating throughout in the field. Really good program progress where we're going.
So a couple of things, of course, to unpack through that. So first is, so they're still going out to the field during that portion. They're just not doing weapons qualification or land nav. They're utilizing that time for, as you talked about, setting up an SSA, doing maintenance out in the field.
Right. Okay. Yes, right. Yeah. It's giving us more reps and sets, what the brigade commanders, and then they confirmed this May for another great sustainment week, is just giving them more reps and sets to do what platoon leaders, second lieutenants should do and be aware of. And the only way to do that is to get away from those 80 PowerPoint slides out of the classroom, that Ferris Bueller instructor. Fortunate we don't have any of those inside of our cadre. We have talented officers that were just waiting for that opportunity for our schools, brothers and sisters across this CASCOM footprint, to get us into their areas and allow us the opportunity to integrate NCOs and warrant officers. It's just now really getting into our blocking and tackling period. We're making sure the cadre understand what we're doing for this third quarter. And the next fourth quarter is going to be phenomenal, which is a great time to be phenomenal, because that is when our primary Compo 1 second lieutenants are coming to us here this summer.
Okay. So on that, do you still do anything with unit movement operations, any UMO stuff? I know back in my day, it's funny to say now, but I know being on the transportation side, does the schoolhouse do anything with that? No.
Yeah, so we have a good block of instruction on familiarization on all things UMO. It's about two days, right? But again, it really ties to that multifunctional officer to be prepared on knowing where to go for if I am tagged as an additional duty UMO officer. So a great initiative that we've had that helps with that is the bring your own device. This last quarter, we've started the bring your own device, where second lieutenants are bringing their iPad, their Max Pro to the classroom. They're able to tie into the Wi-Fi. And during that first week of instruction, where we do some H2F Flight Foundation, we're also teaching them how to use the OneNote, how to use the Outlook, how to build their notes on a platform application that they will be able to use in the future. And it's really helping them identify those kind of quick nuggets to find, whether it's a link or a PowerPoint slide, or if you pick the FM, they can go onto that OneNote device. They can make their notes, their understanding of where to get it. And that's the benefit about this program, this 15 weeks as well, is we're teaching them a lot of stuff inside the 15 weeks. And it's about, can they find it? Can they retain it? But one, have the desire to, when they're in their hotel room, look at it up on their own and review it on their own, that whole self-development bucket of life learning.
So then, sir, how does the H2F side of the house tie into the PME then?
Yes, and for specifically the BOLEC students. So now we have a deliberate week one foundational training that's not just in processing, financing, make sure the ID cards are good. It goes right into H2F learning life foundational training where we have blocks of instruction that are in round robin style, smaller groups with those subject matter experts that I described before, behavior health, chaplain, sharp, and they go and cadre. And they go in those smaller groups and they do some vignettes. They do scenario-based training again that allows the cadre to pick up on those emotional intelligent indicators where they can maybe pull a soldier aside and say, hey, how's it going? What's going on? So they have that opportunity. It allows us to, one, many of us need to reflect back and think, where were we when we were 23 years old? And we moved away from home for the first time, paid our bills for the first time, maybe had a relationship thing going that was gone, maybe had a life, a significant life and emotional thing or a loss or a birth that was going on. Was there anybody there to kind of give us some tidbits other than our parents who are a phone call away? Now what we're doing is showcasing that here in that first week, giving them that, here's the foundational life stuff that you should know, tasks that you should know before you move on in 15 weeks. Good for the soldier, but then good as leaders. Now they understand the significant life stuff that takes over your platoon leader time, that first 90 days when you walk in and you're expected to be the expert in finance, relationships, let alone troop leaving procedures. So it's a great initiative, and it's a great, like I said, a great team of teens down there that are really expanding that opportunity for us in the second lieutenants.
Yeah, because so we can all look back at our role as a platoon leader, company commanders, you as battalion commanders, like you wear a lot more hats than just, you know, as you said, the company, like you were, you know, as a counselor, you're giving feedback and exposing the lieutenants to this program now while they're in schoolhouse will enable them to how to utilize this program while there is a platoon leader or whatever the role they're going for. Right. It's not they just show up the installation, be like, hey, we have this cool thing called H2F. Like, okay, that's nice, but I have no idea what it is. And then they don't use it.
Right.
And use it as a leader, because it's not just of course helping themselves, but how can they, when they're leading soldiers, to be able to utilize these things that's offered across all these installations.
Right.
So it's really good that we have that here, having the, as we talked about at the beginning, having the facility here now that can really get them hands on. So it's just, it's a nice thing to see how that's all rotating together.
Right.
So, you know, understanding like with everything with BOLEC, what are the, if I'm a brand new second lieutenant coming here to the career corps or coming here to BOLEC, sorry, what should I expect when it comes to the physical side?
Yes, be prepared physically fit from day one. We do the AFT that first week, and that is a course requirement. We followed in with a 4x36, 4 mile runs in 36 minutes for a course requirement score. And then we do the 12 mile ruck march for a score as well. So three very physical activities combined with Monday through Friday, a pretty deliberate physical Monday through Friday routine. We have, again, going back to the H2F team, they are focusing on building wherever your physical fitness is at, building up to it, but also teaching the second lieutenants the exercises tied to the cross-functional fitness that feeds the AFT. Fortunate for the CASCOM team, they've increased our beaver fit capabilities for our second lieutenant. So anywhere we have 300 or so that are out there Monday through Friday, you'll see them road marching. You'll see them on the beaver fits. You'll see them getting muddy and dirty on the grass and really pushing each other to achieve those goals in all things fitness.
Okay. So you said the AFT at the beginning, when is the 4 mile run in 36 minutes, mess that up.
Yeah.
And then the 12 mile ruck. When do those fall?
Yeah, I think the 4x36 is week 6, and the 12 mile ruck run is week 9, which that is good because it leads into the increased field time as well for them, where there is a lot of endurance required, marching, just staying in the field craft environment from week 10 through week 14.
Okay. Yeah. So now that we kind of get a good understanding now of the BOLEC side of the house, let's change gears now to the captain side. How is the Captain's Career Course changing themselves to match the Army's new current pace?
Yes, that's a good question. So CAM Career Course has done a phenomenal job using the quarterly department reviews, where each quarter they look at their list plans and validate, are they connected with the RStruck, but also connected with transformation and contact, a modern day in stride changes that are going on in the Army. And fortunate for us, we have a great teammates over there in the training integration department, the TID, who would come over twice a month and showcase our cadre and our students what that terms of reference, what those MTO changes are, what those platforms are, lessons learned from the CTC rotations as well. And they're able to ensure our lesson plans are up to date as we go through. You're also seeing data-driven captains. The captains are have to do a week-long data course for a score while they're here. There is multiple practical exercises tied to the to data. You pick the commodity, you pick that running estimate. They build towards the analog approach. They do the stubby pencil math, post-its on the whiteboard. They figure out how do they do it before they jump into where I say the application layer, where it does a little bit of AI human integration for them. So they have to understand how it's built before they move into that next hook.
And that's just so critical, because you gotta be able to learn. I think, and sometimes we lose sight of this tech, very heavy technology driven world that we're living in right now, is we can become so reliant on it. And now we see some people who, like, if they don't have the computer or a calculator, they're like, I can't do basic math anymore. So how critical it is that our these students are learning, say, hey, you need to be able to do it by analog, because anything could happen. Your system can go down for many different, your generator dies, or any, you know, you lose your signal, whatever it is, you still need to be able to do the mission, get through your running estimates, and if you don't have the technology to do it, you need to be able to do it by hand.
Right.
So it's really good that that's part of that curriculum, and they have to be able to do it like that.
Right.
So now they're being, you know, you're talking about data driven. Is that changing when it comes to the ICOS now? Because I know it's everyone, and all the post career course people hear ICOS and they all twitched a little bit.
Right.
But is that changing that?
Yes, we're an individual concept of support 2.0. So we're working with our that data driven table. And the application layer right now is one brief. We're using some AI tools where in the past, ICOS 1.0 was PowerPoints and Excel spreadsheets, and that student getting their way through the PowerPoint slides, but not really getting an opportunity to really showcase their comprehension of running estimates, decision points, risks, solutions, challenges inside that concept support. This 2.0 version is allowing us to get build that product inside of one brief right now, or it could be Power BI or Maven. We're agile enough to work with either as we're going through the course. But then it allows that student to go through and the instructor just pause and then allow them to understand why they're coming to that decision of that resupply or an ability to resupply, because again, it goes back to the analog math. Specifically, we see that a lot with the fuel consumption or requirements that just doesn't add up. But they can quickly see that and then allow them to comprehend and display that knowledge for them. It's giving them more reps and sets. The key with ICOS 2.0 is to allow us, no matter what application layer that we are using, the lesson plans are agile enough and that application layer is intuitive enough where that understanding during Common Core of how to work, I like to say it's not BCS3 or CPOF-like. It is quicker and agile, more like your Amazon application for those that buy stuff off Amazon. It's quicker to put those commodities in, devise solution sets to how you can achieve, whether it's a routing or it's a resupply, or an MTO change, or task force change, you can do all that. But then, like I said, the cadres is spending more time allowing that student to showcase their comprehension. And we just did an ICOS 2.0 pilot this last course that went through, and really had some both positive engagements from the cadre and the student. And yeah, we had a couple gaps that we're gonna work on and continue to see, okay, how do we build off those during the course of instruction before the actual ICOS.
And then for the training environment, we've switched to the Indo-PACOM. Is that correct?
That is correct, yes. We've been in Indo-PACOM scenario with C3 for probably 24 months now. Mm-hmm. What that's allowed us to do is not really focus on the actual engagement on land, mm-hmm. but really go back operational strategically and find out, okay, because of the island chain, how is our understanding of what will operational strategic sustainment organization support that tactical operation, and at least giving them some familiarization on the strategic partners that they need to know of, besides a defense logistics agency type deal.
Yeah. The ones out there say, okay, good, we're out of Atropia now.
Correct. Yes.
We've been there so long in the training environment.
Right, right.
So for all the senior leaders out there, they're listening to this right now. Okay, I'm hearing the changes with the curriculum for lieutenants and for captains, seeing the new things that's happening in the logistics branch. And they're going to ask themselves, okay, what does that mean for me? What can I expect of if I get a brand new second lieutenant, I get a brand new captain to my formation, what can I expect from these soldiers?
Yeah, great question. Because I think as we talked with the brigade commanders last week, it was understanding of what were they expecting from that and what we call the return on investment for those soldiers. That's either what you'll see. And again, I'm not going to speak for the student, but there should be confidence in going to their new unit. That confidence that they can be part of the team, a value-added member, one that can go and find the data, provide solution sets, but not just solution sets, showcase, like I said before, the risks, the challenges, decision points, and multiple solution sets to allow that commander decision points and that time and space to make the decisions. That's what you should see and should be expecting of both the second lieutenants and those captains. Mm-hmm. Understanding of data-driven decisions, value-added members, students that are physically fit, as I said. With the second lieutenants, they are really just trying to find that leader to follow. And they are willing and able, more willing and able to go get in those badges, airborne, air assault, ranger, more than ever before. They want to be challenged. They want to follow that leader that's also wants to challenge them. And I think the same can be said for the captains. They are excited to be company commanders, but they want to follow somebody that shows them how to do it the right way. So just be aware of that. As I say with the students, they're always being assessed. Leaders out there, you are also being assessed. They are watching your every move because they want to be exactly like you when they grow up.
And on your point there, sir, like on the second lieutenant side of the house, I think having the integration with the other units here on the installation and getting that hands-on with the NCOs out there is bridging that gap, getting them, hey, this is a subject matter expert. You need to rely on your NCO counterpart, because especially when they get teamed up with a sergeant first class or so, like this is someone who's going to give you a lot of knowledge, a lot of wisdom there, and getting that understanding. But I was like, hey, this is how you work with an NCO. So starting there, I think it's a great opportunity. It's going to really pay dividends going forward.
Yeah, it allows them to have an opportunity to have a conversation with an NCO mm-hmm. before they have a conversation with their first platoon. Yeah. Right? It gives them that, like, oh, this is a real face-to-face how mm-hmm. it should work. And it's been great feedback, and I appreciate, again, on behalf of the schools that are doing that, Ordnance Quartermaster Transportation, that are allowing us that opportunity, because that NCO has that valid feedback of saying, hey, signs that you should see or feel or know when the response is like this. You know, signs that you should know or be comfortable with when they're doing these actions. And the same goes with the warrant officers. Again, great, great appreciation for those individuals who are just kind of stepping up. And when the time and schedules allow, are just embedding themselves with their instructors.
Perfect. Yeah. Now, we've talked a lot today about a lot of great topics. Is there anything we missed today that you wanted to highlight for the community?
Yeah, so I would say the Virginia Commonwealth University formerly was a mission master's in supply chain management that is now going to be switching into a data analytics master's as well. Another feeder into the L9 position, as we talked about earlier. It's a great opportunity for those talented young officers to get their school paid for and then feed right into a broadening opportunity here at CASCOM, maybe somewhere else in the future, but here at CASCOM, where you can then utilize that understanding of supply chain management and data analytics, feeding real-world problems, whether at CASCOM or here at Army Sustainment University.
Yeah, and for those out there, go back to another one of our early episodes. We talked about the VCU program. Yeah. So go back, check that episode out, give you a refresher on that, and just see now that the degree has changed because we're adapting to what the environment is. So it's good to see that. One thing I always let my guests do is kind of give out some good wisdom. So what kind of advice do you have, sir, for the systemic community from all your years of experience?
Yeah, so the senior leaders and really junior leaders out there is AI is a part of us. It's not taking our jobs away, but it should be human integrated. So understand what AI can do, and then how do you incorporate it into your day-to-day lives, your day-to-day tasks. What can it do for you with human integration? And what can it do to enhance your brainstorming for those innovative, creative ideas? There are so many capabilities out there in the Gemini AI world that are allowing you to produce slides, produce decisions, produce risk-informed decisions through the use of AI that's deliberately, once you know where that data is coming for, valuable and added. It doesn't mean it's doing it without human integration. I have to stomp my foot on that quite a bit for those who are afraid to get into AI. I'd also say AFT, Army Physical Test, is here. It's staying. So if you're not getting out there and working out day to day, your scores now on the OER will be reflected. I think it's a very good metric for those of us who are striving and to improve upon. I'm not trying to get 500s by everybody, but definitely trying to see improvements on those folks. Because again, like I said earlier, this junior leaders are coming all in. They are ready to be physical fit. They're ready to be challenged more than I can remember my peers at that young age, to do more and to support and do more for the community they serve, but the organization they serve as well.
Well, thank you, sir, for that very much. So there's probably some follow-up questions, you know, cards and letters, especially from today's conversation on all the new things that's happening here. So where can people reach out to you and find you if they have a question or something?
Yes, as I said, you can find us on the age-old internet there, Army Sustainment University. Look for the logistics proponency. Lieutenant Colonel Jesse Pena and or myself, or we're on the global. You can find us. Please send us your letters, cards and letters. We are always open to ideas, validation of what's being trained here, or vignettes that you want us to exercise. I would be wouldn't be to say that we have both the support operations and the joint logistics course who can take your vignettes and within a 2-week turnaround validate if those scenarios work. So that's another opportunity for those out there to find us as well. But again, we want to say before we close here, I mean, just a phenomenal over 12 months as you started, where this has gone to where it is today. For us to be on video after a podcast that was lasting maybe 20 minutes, the first one, to now some are going 45 minutes and some great conversation that you really. So just shout out to you and your teammates here, the folks behind the screen, and look forward to where this goes the next 2 years and how the topics change and evolve, as you kind of say, if your life was a series of episodes, is how you're kind of sharing it with us now. So thanks again for the opportunity.
Appreciate it, sir. That means a lot to me. As you say, I know to everyone out there, as we close up here today, like we'll be back here again at the university, because, you know, we've already been here just over a year now, you know, since we launched, and we're already doing a second episode from the schools because the environment is changing. What's happening here, and you talked about, you're constantly reviewing the curriculum to ensure that the students are getting the most up-to-date current information delivered to them in the most efficient way possible. So I imagine we're going to be back here again at some point to talk about, who knows, we probably have another hub, some kind of other hub of something here at ASU. But just thank you, sir, for coming on the episode today. And to everyone out there, check this episode out, share it to your formations, especially those captains out there or about to be newly promoted captains who are about to come here for the career course. You know, it's a great LPD for them to give them a heads up of what they can expect here, all the things they can tap into. If you know individuals who are maybe in college right now who are deciding on the logistics branch, is another great one to share to them. Hey, gives them a little insider baseball on what to expect when they get here. But just continue to reach out to us, you know, send us your cards and letters so we can continue to deliver you the episodes that mean the most to you. But that is all we have today, folks. As always, Sustainment Leaders start here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you'd like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on global at garrett.h.pyle. follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the U.S. Army CASCOM page. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.